Yeah, ESPN, Omaha, everything good. What is the vibes, my guy?
Not much, bro. Chilling, enjoying my time off, relaxing.
Yeah.
Sun out in Chicago, so going to take advantage of that. That's been my main thing. I'm working so much that I'm learning to just enjoy my time when I'm not.
Yeah, I think that's important. Detaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So much going on. It's needed to be able to just decompress.
Most definitely. Shouts to Chi-Town, but you are one of the world's biggest Knicks fans that I know. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, during that time that Julius Randle was playing and OG was in the building playing, right? And Jalen Brunson was playing, they were 12-2. And it felt like the Knicks ceiling was high. What was their ceiling to you back then? What is their ceiling now? Have things changed? I think it's good to know who they'll go with moving forward. I think they're playing with that Nova flow. So things seem to be going well, but has the ceiling changed at all for you?
No, not really. Obviously, Julius Randle is going to be missed. He's an All-NBA, All-Star talent, 20-point-plus score per night. But I also think that basketball is such a thing that consists with, like, it's kind of like you need depth. You need context and, like, context behind everything. Just because Julius Randle on the surface is a big loss, but the way we've been playing, we haven't had him in months now, so we've gotten a flow and a rhythm of playing without him. Yeah. And I'm just a believer that when you have a guy like him who is he's a good player, but he's an interesting player. You have to work around him and fit him in and get him in. And because we've played without him for so long and we got going and rolling, just throwing him right in before the playoffs, and he wasn't going to be 100% healthy, because if he was, that means he would not have needed surgery. I think that would have hurt us more than it would have helped us. I'm more so love the fact that we get a guy like OG, because I think OG is a guy that you can just drop right in. He's going to defend. 100%. He'll play in a corner without the basketball. He'll cut, and it's a lot more easy to work him in. So because we are a team that's like in that pack, but we aren't Celtic level, I think our ceiling is kind of the same. You know, if we match up against the Celtics or anything like that, we got to really, you know, be the underdogs trying to hit that home run. And I think that's with or without Randle, that's the case. Obviously, with Randle at full health, we are a better, deeper team. But because he needed surgery, he clearly wasn't 100% healthy. And I think that if he isn't 100%, he probably hurts us more than he helps us at this point in the season. You know, so that's my opinion on it. I want him to get fully healthy too, though, because I know Julius Randle, the last couple of playoff series, if I'm not mistaken, he's played through injuries and it's affected him and narratives around him. So I want to see Julius. I think he deserves to be able to be healthy for a playoff push.
Yeah, I think it was great to see him try and play too. Like, he could have mailed it in and had the surgery, and people were saying he should have had the surgery, but I always think surgery should be the last option. And like, he felt like he was having a great season and the Knicks had a chance to win a championship and he didn't fold.
No, yeah, you definitely got to respect it. That's why I'm more so on the side of him getting the surgery, because we've seen him do this before. This ain't the first time Julius has tried to play through things or, you know, put the team first. So whenever a guy shows you that, he's been here since the start of our revolution of this new Knicks era. He was at the forefront of it. You know, Knicks fans and our organization should have nothing but love for Julius and support him while he goes out and get healthy. He really, really does deserve the chance to be able to go get right.
Yeah, the Knicks still do have Brunson. Another huge night for him last night.
Becoming a usual night.
It is becoming a usual night. Is the MVP conversation legit for Brunson?
What do you mean when you say conversation?
That he should get MVP votes.
I don't think so, no. I think there's always a top three, and I just don't think Jalen Brunson's in the top three.
Is he in the top five?
I mean, I once it gets past five, I really lose track. I mean, if you're a Knicks fan and you really care to put Jalen Brunson in it, sure. But I mean, I don't think Jalen Brunson would give a damn. If I'm fifth in MVP voting, I mean, do I really care? To be honest with you, I never understood the top three. If I'm third, I'm kind of like, unless me and the second person are neck and neck. But it's always like the winner and the runner up to me. I can't tell you who is the third best team in the NBA the last 2 years. I remember who won the finals and who lost. I don't remember the other team and the conference finals. Who them? It's the same thing with MVP. It's the same thing any other award. It's like, I for a Knicks fan, I'm sure Jalen Brunson is fifth.
Yeah,
but like in the grand scheme of things, that those conversations personally don't move me. I'm more so moved by the trajectory of his career, the fact that he is like leading a team, but I don't even think he don't get anything from being fifth in MVP voting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, except maybe all NBA. But I would say they will remember this year's third option. And I think like that's SGA. And I think people actually will remember that.
Yeah, because I think SGA might be close to the second person, which is Luka. Mm-hmm. I think they would kind of be neck and neck because I think Jokic has the record on both of them. Jokic has the stats, which he kind of balances out.
Does he have Luka. Does he have the raw stats over Luka? Not the points and stuff, right?
I'm not sure. My case is that if he doesn't, they're neck and neck. I believe him, and off the top of my head, him and Luka are kind of neck and neck. There is no real separator between them. The separator between those two is the standings. Yeah. And you know what I mean? So he has that. And I think the next thing is Luka and Shea. Luka would have the numbers over Shea. Shea would have the record with the young, inexperienced team. So they might be a little close. And it's just been an incredible year for OKC. So I think this entire year for OKC and their fans will be remembered. I think they're going to remember every damn thing because they went from this young team that had a bright future to now it's like, no, we're not future. We're right now. So I agree with you. I think that because of that, they're going to remember everything. But like, at some point, SGA is going to win an MVP, and we're not going to be like, remember when he was third? Like, I don't know. That's just me, though. That's just me.
The Luka Jokic conversation is interesting because I think it's very close as well. Probably the separating factor is how bad the Nuggets are when Jokic isn't playing. I mean, it feels like he's more valuable to his team than Luka is, even though Luka is incredibly valuable as well.
Yeah, I think Jokic is having an overall better season. Because of what he does to his team. And it's another tough conversation to have because obviously the Mavs ain't the Mavs without Luka Doncic either. This is a dude that had a 70-point game, 30-point triple-double. It's triple-double before halftime, 20-point first quarters. Like, Luka has done everything.
73, right?
Yep, 73. I'm more focused on Luka in the postseason. I think this could be a season where Luka takes the title of being the best player in the world. So I'm more so looking at that. I think MVPs are in the future cards for Luka. And I'm happy that he's put himself in that spot as the number two guy. And I think next year it can roll over into him being a heavy favorite. I'm a guy who's had my preseason prediction be Luka as MVP for about four seasons now. So I'm itching and scratching and waiting for Luka to finally take that home. And I think him being runner-up this year will kind of parlay into the next few years of him being winning a couple, you know, maybe winning two out of three or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, P. I've been saying it's going to be Luka and Anthony Edwards for a while now. I think they'll both get one eventually. But now we got Wemby coming in the mix eventually, probably two or three years down the line. And then SGA is playing at a crazy level. So it is going to be interesting how the MVP race goes. What do you like? There is no actual criteria for MVP. How do you feel about that? Is it the most valuable player for their team? Do you feel like it should just be the best player? Because if it was just the best player, then you might have Luka, right?
No, I would probably still go with Jokic.
Okay.
I would still go with Jokic. I think this postseason run that the Mavs can potentially have, can have Luka be the best player, but he has to deliver in the playoffs. The MVP should be the MVP. It should be the most valuable player. I've always thought that. I'm going to always feel that way. And I think it should be the most valuable player should have a pot with mixed with a lot of different things. You should have numbers. You should have moments. You should have wins. You should be, you know what I mean? Your team should be a certain spot. That's why I really enjoyed it the year that Russell Westbrook got it with OKC because it was
had a triple-double last night too.
That was the first with the Clippers.
Yeah.
That was like the epitome of an MVP. He dragged this team that wasn't completely structured into the playoffs right after Kevin Durant had left them in a place that kind of was like stuck. Yeah. That story, the moments that came in that season, that as a fan, that's what I love. I love that. So I know a lot of times the media has made it to where like, man, who got the best record?
Yeah.
The best player on the team with the best. It's like,
nah,
not always. It's like that. The Celtics should have the best record.
Yeah, it's not like that this year because there's a lot of players doing more with less than Tatum.
Yeah. So I never really was a fan of that argument. And then the best player, it's tough to do the best player thing because then LeBron would have won it for like 12 straight years and he ended up going to the Heat. And you know what I mean? So I just like the storylines. I like the winning. I like the moments. I like the stats. I just like everything into one versus like, who got the most wins? Who's the best player on that team? He's the MVP. It's not always that simple. It's the MVP. It's the biggest award in this sport. It has to come with some type of, you know, something bigger than just...
more individuality?
Is that it definitely needs to be.
It's an individual award at the end of the day,
All of the awards need to be a lot more individual. But
yeah.
Valuable comes with winning too, so I understand that aspect of it. And MVPs are going to uplift their teammates. They're going to make them better, which is why Jokic is a guy who's been at the top of the MVP conversation for the last 5 years.
I don't want to get too far off topic, but I believe that's the case when we're comparing the all-time greats. It's always an easy thing to do. Like, he has this amount of championships, but like sometimes you could just look at the player and the situations they were in and their career becomes like tremendously underrated.
Those are the best conversations for me as a basketball fan to have. The ones that we really got to sit, think, make points, compare. Because like I said earlier, basketball is just not a sport. It's a simple sport, but when we're talking about it and conversing, it's not as simple as he has this amount of rings, so he's the best. Because if that was the case, Robert Horry would be at the top of a lot of conversations, or Bill Russell, or you know what I mean? But it takes in-depth conversation to understand things. I've been having conversations like that a lot. I was just in a barbershop and the casual fan has these type of perspectives and opinions that, like, when you're a real basketball person, you can hear it. And it's not their fault because they're casual fans, but you kind of laugh to yourself how simple they think things work. Like, a dude was telling me if Jaylen Brown was on the Raptors would be a legit contending team. And it's like,
I don't even know that's a casual take. Like, it doesn't make sense at all.
It don't make sense because he's looking at it from just like this very dense.
And I love Jaylen Brown's game. Yeah.
Yeah. I do too. But it's just like, I don't know. It doesn't work like that. It ain't 2K.
I don't think any one player could make them a championship team. They're a rebuilding team.
His point was just that Jaylen Brown is really good and he could lead a team. And I was just like, I think those are the conversations that a lot of people who don't study the game of basketball kind of fall into, because a lot of guys are number twos and there's nothing wrong with that. Being a number one comes with a lot of responsibility that the average person doesn't consider. So playing next to a Jason Tatum, that means you're not getting the best defender on you. Responsibility is a little different. You 100%. Know what I mean? When you go and get your own team, now you got the best team, other team's best defender. When you're in the playoffs, it's seven games, they can key in on you. And that's just not a situation that a lot of guys want. So these number twos that we look at and we say, man, they can have their own team. They might score 3 or 4 more points per game in a regular season, but it's a whole different monster and beast.
Yeah. Speaking of number twos, you guys had a conversation about the best duos in the NBA. To me, it feels like Kyrie and Luka are the most dangerous duo. Do you have them as the best duo? Jokic and Murray in the playoffs are phenomenal. You know, Murray always raises his game. We talked about Jaylen Brown and Tatum already. Who would you have as the best duo?
I guess the playoffs is going to answer that. You know what I mean? To be honest, this is where it really matter. I think Tyrese Maxey and Embiid deserves to be in a conversation. You still have to look at Booker and KD. You have to look at Kawhi and Paul George. Like that, I would love to give you an answer, but I think we're going to have our answer the next few weeks with the playoffs, because we still don't know what we're going to get from Paul George or Kawhi. They're probably going to match up against Luka and Kyrie. You know what I mean? So that duo is going to be nice. The Boston Celtics duo, with all of the support they have, is Jamal Murray and Jokic, you know, bound to do it again. LeBron and AD as the underdog play-in team, can they take out a young team like OKC or Minnesota? You know what I mean? Like, I do think that Kyrie and Luka not only are the most dangerous duo, but I think the Mavs going into the playoffs are the most dangerous team.
Better chance than the Knicks to win it all?
Who?
The Mavs?
No.
Wow.
Just because the Western Conference is their first round matchup is going to be the Clippers. As good as the Mavericks are, they could lose in a first round and I wouldn't look at them too bad because the Clippers peaking at the right time, clicking, they are one of the most dangerous teams too.
Yeah.
The Knicks, our first round matchup would be who? The Pacers? I'll play the Pacers over the Clippers any day of the week.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I mean, there's a lot of complaining when it comes to today's NBA, but I don't think we ever had this kind of depth in terms of teams and marquee names, right? It feels like,
the parity.
It feels like every series is popcorn.
The parity is at an all-time high right now. I'm loving the parity in the NBA, especially coming off the last decade of 2010s where we got a lot of Cavs versus Warriors and we knew that that was going to be the finals or the big three Heat when we knew that they would be in the finals. It's good to kind of get this parity of the unknown where like the team like the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, they could be sent home in the first round.
Yeah.
Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, Brad Beal could be sent home in the first round. OKC team that had an incredible season, they could be sent home in the first round. You know what I mean? So it's like the LeBron and AD, they could be sent home in the first round. Somebody's going home early. It's a lot of legacies and things that can be defined in these playoffs.
Do you feel that OKC, the experience, there's just not enough of it there? Or they could just defy all the odds because even though we haven't seen this kind of trajectory in the past, they could win it all.
I mean, they can if we're being in a technical situation, but they definitely lack the experience. We're going to see how much it plays a part. That's why I'm very interested in watching them and seeing how it goes because, as an NBA analyst, you have to take that into consideration. But I love when the odds are defied. You know what I mean? I love when like a team that we look at like, oh man, they don't have experience. If they come and go on a run, I would love that. You know what I mean? Like, because that would shut it up for the next team that comes. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to find out if the experience is going to be something because playoff basketball is a different monster. They got Chet, who is technically a rookie. J-Dub is in his second year. They are extremely, extremely youthful. Is this Josh Giddey third year?
Yeah.
They're very young. They are a very young team. Kayson Wallace is in the rotation. He's a rookie. So if they can overcome the inexperience, that would be very, very big for the NBA. But I think if they do fall short, my mind is how much grace is the NBA media going to give them?
Yeah.
Let's say they lose in the first round. What do you think the reaction is? Or what's the talk around Shea's name or OKC or whatever?
I'd like to actually change that conversation. I want to see Shea take out Steph and LeBron and see him become a household name with the casuals. That's what I really want to see. Like, I want to see him beat one of them.
You don't think he's a household name already?
No.
I thought
no,
this year established
see,
that.
See, you're in the NBA world. So when I ask my mom who SGA is, she won't know.
But is your mom a casual fan or just like a not basketball person at all?
She's a basketball person because of me, but she's only going to hear about the stuff that hits Good Morning America, like Caitlin Clark.
So I see, but I don't think she classifies as a casual fan. A casual fan, I would say, is like the people in a barbershop who they don't know. They don't know as much as me and you, but they know who Shea is. How many basketball games in a week is your mom watching? NBA games.
Full games.
Yeah.
If I'm there, baby, that's it.
Then she's not casual. A casual fan, they might not watch as much as me and you, but they'll watch the ESPN Friday night. They'll watch TNT on Thursday. They're going to watch the main marquee games.
So let me ask you this. What does SGA have to do for my mom to know her name besides listening to us on Combos Court?
Oh, win a championship.
Okay.
Grandmothers, I think, like you said, watch Good Morning America.
Right.
They watch the news. That's when you're like you have to win a championship for you to be on. Like, my grandma probably knows Steph Curry because he's won championships. He's been on ABC. You know what I mean? Like that's what comes with winning a championship. The front page of the Chicago Sun-Times. You know what I mean? Like that. I don't think unless somebody has a grandmother that's just casually watching ESPN, then I don't think you're really going to know.
Yeah.
And Shea got to win that championship, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
to be known for the right reasons. You can also be wrong, known for the wrong reasons, which we don't want that to happen.
Well, that's a fact. So let me shift to a casual question, P. Because casual questions seem to do well. And I asked this to somebody in the gym, and they looked like they looked at me like I was nuts, Pierre. But I'm going to ask.
Was that person in the gym a casual?
Yeah, but okay. I think in our circles, this probably wouldn't be a good question, but I think it's an interesting question.
Oh, okay.
So my question to you is, will Caitlin Clark's impact at the next level be closer to Jimmer Fredette's or Steph Curry's?
Oh, Steph Curry's. 1,000%. I think it's disrespectful to put Jimmer Fredette's name next to Caitlin Clark's, to be honest. You can already see what's happening. You know, she just lost in a championship, and she got thanked by the opposing coach. Coach Dawn, like, thanked her for her contributions to the game. Like, the respect level for Caitlin Clark is out of this world. There's no doubt. She's clear-cut number one. Jimmer Fredette, as good as he was good in college. He was never a consensus number one overall pick when he was going to the league. You know what I mean? We only have to talk about how his career panned out, but he was not even clear-cut number one. She's clear-cut number one. She has ads. She's broken records that Jimmer never scratched. She is, like, by far Steph Curry more than Jimmer.
So you feel it's more of like an undeniable thing, like Wemby, LeBron. Curry wasn't actually undeniable coming out of college, but you think it's that type of situation when it comes to Caitlin?
Yep. Undeniable.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I just saw a team put tickets on sale to come see Caitlin Clark, and she's not even drafted yet, but they know she's going number one. So I just seen like an opposing team say, we're going to play the Indiana Fever, blah, blah, blah. Buy your tickets to see us against Caitlin Clark. Other teams are marketing her. That already changes the game. The numbers of the NCAA championship and the games Iowa was playing and just the women's bracket or a tournament overall, it crushed the men's. That has a lot of to do with Caitlin Clark. Now, don't get me wrong. We got Juju Watkins. We got Paige Beckers. We got Angel Reese. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of great talent, but it's obviously led by Caitlin Clark. So I think, yes, it's undeniable.
Yeah. I mentioned Wemby, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, P. The Spurs, obviously really bad right now, P, really bad. What should they prioritize this season when it comes to building around Wemby?
Good basketball players. I think it's that simple. You have Wemby, you have Devin Vassell, you have some other interesting pieces there. But I think as long as you put really good basketball players around him, high IQ guys who can guard multiple the positions, guys who can make shots, I think you'll be fine. They have two lottery picks. They got a boatload of money that's opened up. It's some interesting names that could potentially become available on the open market. But I definitely think you have to start to think that you're not rebuilding. The Spurs have to go in the offseason and understand you're not rebuilding. You have Victor Wembanyama. You're not rebuilding. This is not you don't think like the Pistons. You have to think like you are the Mavericks.
Rockets.
The Mavericks. You have Luka already. You have your Luka type player where we can etch him in. So you have the Rockets too. The Rockets too. Absolutely the Rockets. Yes, 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 yes. The only thing about the Rockets is there's nobody on their team that's definite. I said the Mavericks because Luka was more definite. Wemby is definite. But
I thought of mindset of rebuilding versus tanking when I thought of Rockets.
Absolutely.
Sorry, not rebuilding. Win now versus tanking. Better.
I would say combine both of those things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But another thing about the Rockets is they were so desperate to install a culture. Because you have Greg Popovich as your coach, there's already a culture that's inside the Spurs ecosystem that you don't have to go out and spend the money they spent if it ain't right. The Rockets spent absurd money on Fred and Dylan Brooks because they were fiending for somebody that could come in and be a reflection of the coach that they brought in. I don't think you have to go spend $40 million on a Fred VanVleet if you're San Antonio.
Because Wemby is so undeniable, right?
Because Wemby is undeniable and because you already have culture. And you have two lottery picks.
Some would argue culture's gone. I agree with you. I think Heat, Spurs, Warriors still have culture and probably the biggest culture teams. But some would say just because of this losing season that the way they're going about things, they lost culture. I don't agree with that.
No, I think that's somebody that doesn't know what culture is. Culture isn't on wins and losses. Culture is culture.
Or something that happens in 1 year. So
there's teams that win that don't have culture.
Yeah.
They just had good players right there at that time. What is the Clippers culture?
Oh, my. How about the Nets? Oh, my God.
Well, the Nets suck right now, but the Clippers. The Clippers are a team that have championship aspirations, and they're not wrong. What culture do they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I'm saying. Like, when I think of the Clippers and the Nets, I think of cultureless, even though one's winning now, one's losing.
Yeah. So that just goes to the point of, like, winning don't mean you have a culture and stay over.
Yeah.
The Nets, yeah. Nets a mess. Don't even get me started on the Nets.
All right, last thing before we're going to get some fun rapid-fire stuff. There's a lot of conversation around Zach Edey, P. And my thing is, I don't know, man. I don't know about my guy Zach Edey. I think he's dominant at the NBA level. I could think he could be a contributor. Sorry, he's dominant at the NCAA level.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he could be a contributor at the NBA level. I also think he could become a top 450 player in the world, but I don't think that necessarily means that your game fits the NBA style of play. I would also say there's also players that, like Steph Curry, right? I'm not comparing Zach Edey to Steph Curry for all the casuals out there, but I would say there are players that change everything, right? Like, they just change the way we play. And I think there will be a big man at some point in the post that could do that. We're already seeing it with some of the bigs right now, right? Even though they're a little bit more versatile. I just don't think that offensively you change your game plan for Zach Edey post touches. And on the defensive side of things, the question always is, can you guard everybody? Can you guard anybody? And I don't know, man. I just don't see him being a star, even though I hope the best for him.
Oh, I damn sure don't see him being a star. Hell
yeah,
no.
I mean, that's what you want in the lottery, right?
I don't think he's not a lottery pick.
Oh, some people are talking about him that way.
He's not a lottery pick to me. I wouldn't take him with a lottery pick. That wouldn't make too much sense.
Rasheed Wallace just said number one. I mean,
well, we see why Rasheed Wallace, with all due respect, isn't drafting for no team. Because he's definitely not a number one. If he was a number one pick, he wouldn't have been in college for these many years. There's a reason. When guys like that go back to college, there's a reason. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? There's a reason. He had already won player of the year. You know what I mean? Like, he did all of that. There's a reason he went back to college. That's because he's not a number one overall pick. I don't see him being a lottery pick. Anything is possible in a draft like this. But yeah, I think he can be a guy that can contribute. But I agree with you. My standpoint is always the same. I'm always looking at college guys and what they do and how it can be translatable to the NBA. And again, I don't see teams dumping the ball into him and letting him pound, pound, pound like he did against UConn and Donovan Clingan. So because of that, how does he contribute to, you know, a team at a high level? And even you, can he guard in space? He can block some shots, but you know what I mean? He's going to have to get out of the paint for the 3 seconds. There's going to be a lot of teams putting him in a lot of pick and roll actions. There's a lot of teams that have stretch bigs who can take him out of the paint. If he switched on to Anthony Edwards, can he hold his own? If he switched on to a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like, teams in the NBA are going to hunt that all day, over and over and over and over and over. What happens when he's faced up with a Wimby who can bring you out to the 3-point line and hit step back threes? You know what I mean? That's where I think the game is kind of going, and that makes it a curveball. But every team is looking and needs size off the bench. So if you're getting somebody who is coming off the bench for 15 to 20 minutes, I think Zach Edey is a really good pickup for that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think nothing wrong with that. But I think the higher you pick him, the more the expectations climb and the more you could potentially be disappointed. But I do wish him well. I hope he can get to the NBA and stay. That's everybody's dream. But just thinking about the NBA game and what he does and how it can translate is where I'm kind of like iffy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Not to be a basketball snob, but how can't people not see that, though? Like, it's not about how good of a college basketball player you are, even how good of a basketball player you are. Like, Timmy was a great basketball player, still is, always will be. Doesn't mean his game translates to what the NBA is. And NBA is, yes, it's the best league in the world, but it's also a style of play and how you fit around other great players.
Drew Timmy, too. I don't want casuals to think you meant Timmy isn't Tim Duncan.
Oh, nah. Come on, Drew Timmy. Luca Garza, good basketball player.
We could go on.
Yeah.
We could go on and on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's questions with guys who are probably projected higher. I think Donovan Clingan has questions. not as many as Zach Eaton.
Right.
But
I think there's only less questions because people are comparing up to Zach all the time. But there's definitely still questions. There's just less than Edie.
I think we saw some things with Walker Kessler. Walker Kessler had a fantastic rookie year. Sophomore season was kind of, you know, people still have some questions. It just comes with it with every type of big man. And I think it's nothing against Zach Edey. I think when people see that, they think it's hate or anything. But all these questions have – every big man goes through this unless you fit the mold of the standard type of modern center who is stretching the floor, has mobility. But if you're a back-to-the-basket rim protector who has some slow feet, I don't give a damn who you are. Questions are coming 100%, with that.
100%. Totally agree. All right, let's get to some rapid fire and get out of here real quick. It's a big thing on Combo's Court, P. The people love this.
And, Combo's Court.
By the way, people still tweeting about Friday Night Lights yesterday.
I saw that tweet the other day. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know, I got to say that we got something coming soon. I got to quote tweet that today. All right. Anyway, better NBA prospect, Dillingham or Shepherd?
Reed Shepherd. You said prospect, Reed Shepherd.
Prospect, yep.
Reed Shepherd. Play with the ball, play without the ball, decision-making, defense, better prospect. Who will be the better player? I might go Dillingham.
Higher ceiling, real quick.
Dillingham.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Who's currently the better player, Brunson or Kyrie?
Currently, this season, Jalen Brunson.
Yep. Kendrick or Cole?
Overall, Kyrie Irving.
Kendrick or Cole?
Well, right now, I got to go Kendrick Lamar. I'm a bigger J. Cole fan. The apology was
Come on, man. You can't apologize, man.
If you asked me this 3 days ago, I would have said, Cole, I'm not really feeling the apology. To be honest with you, I'm one of the few people, Combo, who are not only fans of both of these gentlemen. I'm fans of all three of the guys in that little circle. So when I go 100%. On Twitter and I see all their fan bases arguing against each other, you got Kendrick fans saying Drake is weak. You got Drake fans saying Kendrick is weak.
Why?
I don't get it because I love all three of them. And the one thing I cannot deny as a fan of all three, they're all three legends, and we should sit back and enjoy the music we get from it. But 100%. The Cole apology was a little disappointing. I understand it. Birds on the low are saying J. Cole thought of it as like a friendly rap battle. Drake and Kendrick Lamar are about to really, really go at it, and it ain't about to be some friendly little competition thing. So once Cole kind of found out that, oh, no, this ain't just a little friendly battle, he was like, oh, shit, let me get myself out of this. Let me get myself out of the middle of this. So
in our business, we listen to words. I think he even pointed out that they were friends. And they're like in the actual, like, yeah, it seemed friendly to me. Anyway, Dunks or Jordan 1s?
Dunks.
What city produces the best hoopers?
Chicago.
Come on, P.
Derrick Rose, Anthony Davis. P. Come on, man.
You know it's New York. Come on, man.
I'm riding with Chicago.
Favorite book.
Shout out to New York, though.
Favorite book.
Favorite book. Favorite book. I'm currently reading the autobiography of Malcolm X. I don't know if I can make it my favorite because I'm still reading it. I got a lot of books behind me. Mamba Mentality, Kobe Bryant. Is that the name of this?
Yeah.
The Mamba Mentality by Kobe Bryant. It's an incredible book.
Love it. Best piece of advice you ever gotten?
You only get out whatever you put in.
That's a big fact, my guy.
You know who used to say that all the time? Pops.
Oh, shouts to Pops, man.
You only get out whatever you put in. You cannot be an all-star with bench player work ethic.
That's a big fact. Shouts to Pops. Shouts to EJ.
Shouts out to EJ and Pops.
Greatest hoops movie ever.
Hoop Dreams, Chicago, baby.
Okay. Okay. I respect
you ever seen Hoop Dreams?
Yeah, it's crazy. You go Chicago.
Hoop Dreams is a documentary.
It's a movie.
Okay.
I'll go above the rib. See, it shows our Chicago, New York bias. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. I see. I didn't know if you meant that type of movie. Really act. Okay.
Any movie. Okay. Hoop Dreams is in there. Last thing. Who wins the NBA title?
I also love Blue Chips, by the way. Who wins the NBA title?
Yeah.
The Boston Celtics.
Wow.
The Boston Celtics win the NBA finals.
That's crazy, P. You know, it, like, it feels obvious, but then it also feels like a deep cut at the same time. I don't know why. That's just what came to my mind. I have no idea why.
Yeah, hey, if they don't win the NBA Finals, it's going to get ugly.
Hey, I actually said this before on this pod. If they lose to the Heat, I'm not talking about them next year. If the Heat take their heart, and I love the Heat, I'm not talking about them for a whole year. They're not in my conversations.
I won't be mad at you. That would be a damn shame. They need to win the NBA Finals, man. And I'm not even saying it from the Jason Tatum perspective. I see a lot of people doing that with Jason Tatum. He's like 26. He's been to, all of these conference finals, been to the finals. Jason Tatum is having a great career. I hate that we do that in our sport where we put this time clock on. And it's like, man, Luka need to get a ring soon or else. Jason Tatum need to get the ring or else. It's like, get one whenever you get one. If Luka gets a ring at 30 instead of 25, I promise you he's still going to be a legend. Just get the ring. I don't care when you get it. Get it in your prime. Lead your team.
Let me tell you why it's a bad take. Because besides the 15 players that win the NBA championship, you could have that take every single time. Yeah. Well, there's going to be four.
That's why.
That's like 430 players that you could say that about. They didn't win a championship this year.
They did it to Giannis. Remember before Giannis won the ring every year? He got to win it. They did it to Jokic, and then he finally got it. I just chill. Whenever they win it, they win it. If they don't win one, when we review it, we'll get to there. But in the middle of the prime, these guys are in position to win one every year. We're going to get up here and tear a player apart every single year, and then they win it, and we sit there and pretend like we didn't say anything. I seen them tear down Giannis as soon as he got up there and started winning MVPs. Like, but he ain't got the ring yet. LeBron and Jordan, all these guys ain't win. They first went to like 28. But here we are trying to criticize guys who are 25. Stop it. Silly.
Yeah, ESPN Omaha. Numbers on the board. You know you're always welcome back on the show. Talk soon, man.
Combos Court, baby.